to talk about the inyan of Chayiv Adam Levasumei Bipuraya Ad Lo Yoda Ben Oror Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. What is the meaning of this Maim Chazal? What are the halachic guidelines in regard to drinking on Purim? Okay, now first of all, the Gemara is the reason why we drink on Purim is why is there an inyan to drink on Purim? So first of all, Chazal tell us in Simcha Ella B'Yayin. If a person wants to be in a state of Simcha, he has to change his mind. He has to open up his mind in Simcha Ella B'Yayin. Another reason, one of the more significant reasons why we drink is because all of the key events of the Megillah took place through Yayin. Esther, Achashverosh, he made a Mishte Yayin. Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh, he made v'hashesiyah chados ein ones. The party that was made for the entire world and Rosh Hashan was a Mishte Yayin. In fact, everyone was given wine that equaled their age. The entire party revolved around wine. When Esther invited Haman to the party, it was a Mishta Yayin. When Esther invited the second time, it was a Mishta Yayin. All of the significant events, the key events in the Megillah took place through the medium of Yayin, and therefore it is important that when we commemorate the Yom Tov of Purim, we commemorate it through Yayin.
Not alcohol, not liquor.
Okay, so that's a very big question. If you can fulfill, that's one of the topics that is discussed here at length in the Sefer Shara Yimei Purim by Rabbi Tezner. Can you fulfill it with whiskey? Can you fulfill it with beer? Grape juice, no. Grape juice, it says here, Beferish. No. The Shevet Alevi says that you do not fulfill in any way whatsoever the halacha of Chayev Adam Levasume Biparaya with grape juice. The dafka yayin, because Chazal says yayin yisamach levav enosh. Okay, there's a difference between kiddush and the Yom Tov of Purim. Kiddush, you can use grape juice. We'll discuss it another time. I just got a sefer all about wine. Very fascinating sefer. It's not a big sefer. It's an easy sefer. All about yayin. We'll come to that another time with kiddush Friday night. But for Purim, one is required to drink Yayin, intoxicating beverage. You're asking a very good question. Can you fulfill the obligation using other forms of alcohol? So from the Rambam it's mashman, no. From the Rambam it's mashman, there's a hakpada, you have to use bedafka yayin. Since the key events in the Megillah took place for yayin, it has to be bedafka yayin. However, many poskim are of the opinion that you can use anything that is intoxicating, which includes beer and whiskey. What? It has to be a mishta. It has to be something which is natural. Natural. Okay. Now,
what about grape juice? Let's say it's 2%, 2%.
Yeah, that's alcohol. If it's 2% is alcohol, then now let's sell it in the stores. You need a license. If you need a license to sell it in the store, then that means you can mekayim the mitzvah of Chayev Adam Levasim Lepirayin. Now, there's a very big debate. This halacha that a person has to drink is brought down in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. There's no question it's brought down. Now, however, there is a Ran, and there are Rishonim that are of the opinion that this halacha is, there is no halacha. There is no requirement to drink wine at all on Purim. And the reason is because when the Gemara first says, Chayev Adam Levasim Lepirayin Ad Lo Yada Ben Oro Hamul Baruch Mordechai, and immediately after the Gemara introduces this halacha, it tells us about the story of Rabbah and Rab Zera. Rabbah invited Rab Zera to dine with him, to eat with him the Sudas Purim, and they got a little bit carried away. They drank a little bit too much, and Rabbah got up and he demonstrated the laws of Shechita on Rabbi Zera. And when he calmed down, he realized that we got a problem. We got a problem. Rabbi Zer is no longer among the living. He's no longer above the living. So he was mispalel, and he miraculously brought him back to life. Tchias HaMesim. The Moshe made the bracha Tchias HaMesim. So fine, that was a Maisha Hoya. Came next year, a year later, Rabbah calls up Rabbi Zeira. He has him on speed dial and says, Rabbi Zeira, we had such a wonderful Purim last year. Why not come over again? Rabbi Zeira said to him, Lav b'chol shaita misrach eish nisa. Miracles don't happen on a daily basis. Last year, you got lucky. Very lucky. You brought me back to life. Who says this year we will be so lucky? It's more likely that we will drink and we will come to Sakana and you're not going to be able to bring me back to life. Now the Ran is of the opinion, being that the Gemara makes this statement, the Gemara tells us this story, relates this story, immediately after telling us halacha that a person has an obligation to drink on Purim, is an indication that this halacha has been rejected. And it is shalaika halacha. There is no requirement to drink on Purim at all. Why else would the Gemara tell us this story? This story shows us the sakana. The Gemara says he's supposed to drink, and the Gemara says, look at the tragedy that happened, and it's only because of the miracle they survived. And then the following year, when they wanted to go invite him to come drink, he told him, don't drink because he told him, I don't want you to come because it's going to come the day of sakana.
Was he guilty of murder?
L'chari was not guilty of murder because it was an accident. Now, once we're discussing this story, so but this is now, even though the Ran, even though what? Homicide, yeah, negligent homicide. But even though, okay, we have, so I just want to point out that this sequence of events in the Gemara, the halacha, and the story, according to the Ran, and possibly according to other Rishonim, is an indication that there is no halacha. We reject this halacha on Purim, you mekayim the Yom Tov of Purim without drinking even a sip of alcohol. However, many Rishonim do not accept the opinion of the Ran. They hold the Gemara just telling us an interesting story, and it's what to learn from the story. Be careful. Don't overdo it. But there's still a halacha of chayiv adam levasume bipuraya to imbibe, to drink, adelo yada, ben araham lebaruch Mordechai, and just be careful. And indeed, in Shulchan Aruch and in the Ramah, it is quoted as halacha that you should indeed drink. The Ramah goes on to say that now, our day and age, it's not such a good idea to drink. It's not, if you drink too much, who knows what's going to happen. The Ramah says the best thing is a person should drink Yoiser Meher Geloi. Just drink on Purim more than what you are ordinarily accustomed to. If you're ordinarily accustomed to drink nothing, so you drink just one cup of wine. That will already weaken your mind. It will put your mind in a dull state. You will doze off. And when you are unconscious due to sleep, then your mind is in a state of where you do not know the difference between Aror, Haman, and Baruch Mordechai, and you have fulfilled Chazal's requirement. And then the Ramah goes on to say, Echad Hamarbe, V'Echad Hamarbe, V'Vach, Yechav, In Liba, La Shemayim, The Iker is, you should do it L'Shem Shemayim. Okay, so this is a halacha l'mayim, so just I want to point out that Gemara, and the Ran's opinion, and what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and what the Ramah says, the way it is done today. It was very interesting, he quotes over your source, very fascinating, Rekar, is that the Rambam also says the same exact thing. The Rambam says a person should drink and then yirdal, he should fall asleep, and when you're falling asleep, then you're mekayim adelo yada. Now it's very interesting, we are all taught that yirdal, when you're falling asleep, is you just drink a little bit and you doze off, and that's how you mekayim the mitzvah. Someone learned Shan the Rambam, you have to read the words of the Rambam and look at the Mepharshim, or just trying to throw out the general idea. The Rambam is not telling you that's how you mekayim adelo yada. According to the Rambam, the Ikar way to mekayim adelo yada, according to this approach, is you have to actually drink so much. You have to drink so much, or you really lose control. You lose control of your mind, and you really do not know the difference between Aruch and Baruch Mordechai. And then when the Rambam says the Yirdom, he's not telling you that's how you mekayim. You already were mekayim. He's giving you good advice. When a person is in a state of adelo yada, a person's mind has already, it's already now, he's not in control of his mind, it would be advisable that you should go to sleep. Someone should put you to bed. Because if you stay awake in that frame of mind, you are a danger to society. So we are accustomed to understanding that yirdam, sleep, is a means. It's a technique. It is the way you're going to fulfill Ad Lo Yada. When you take a cup of wine, I know you don't drink anything, so tell you drink one glass of wine, of heavy wine, right away you're out like a light, you're asleep, and now while I'm sleeping, I'm a Kayim the Mitzvah. No! You drink and drink and drink until you lose it. And then when you lose it, when you're conscious and you lose it, that's called Ad Lo Yada. And now the Rambam is giving you an Eitzah Tova. If you remain like this for a little bit longer, who knows the harm you will bring upon this world. Therefore, it's a good idea now, Yirdam, he should be put to sleep. A whole new twist in the Pshat of the Rambam.
If you drink too much, then you mix up, you don't know right from wrong.
Yeah, exactly. That's why the Rambam says he's supposed, that's why he's supposed to go to sleep. Okay, now it's very important. Now, let's just talk about some of the basic halachas. There are different, in halacha, there are three different categories of people who are intoxicated. One is called a shasui. A shasui means a person that had a drink. A shasui. I recently took a course in defensive driving. So the fellow was a firm fellow, so he was talking about drinking alcohol, drink and driving. And he was drilling us, his question to the tzibur is, Mitzoy Shabbos, if you make Havdalah on a glass of wine, are you allowed to go get into the car? It's very, very common, right? In Mitzoy Shabbos, some people drink grape juice. If you're the Rosh Habayis, and you are reciting Havdalah, and you are a connoisseur, you got like a good dry wine, and you want to use this for your Havdalah, and you drink a glass of wine, are you allowed to get in the car?
Only if you take a cell phone to text.
So I think we all unanimously said, of course not. You do that and you go straight to jail. So he was very, he says, not so fast. He says, no, so he basically showed us that one glass of wine is not, you're not over the legal limit. It's not a good idea. No one's telling you to do it. You're just trying to chunk to that part of the course, the teacher of halachas. He says, you're not over the legal limit. One glass of wine will generally not put you raise the alcohol in your blood to a degree where you are guilty. Not that it's a good idea to do, but you should know the parameters, the different guidelines. Okay, whatever it is. Now, there are three different kinds. The reason why I said that was because that's called a shosui. A person drinks a glass of wine. Just using an example, in the modern world, I drank a glass of wine. I'm a little bit light on my head. Legally, I can drive. I can legally get in the car, legally. My blood alcohol has not raised to the degree where I'll be arrested. I'll lose my license. That's called a shosui. And that has a nafkamin in halacha. Because you would think that halacha is also in the line with that thought. Are you allowed to daven shmoine esrei after you drink one or two cups of wine? I'm a little tipsy, right? I'm a little tipsy, turby, I'm a little bit. But I'm not really drunk. Prove it to you. I'm allowed to drive. The state of New York allows me to get into a car. So what would the Shulchan Aruch say? So this is a very big complicated issue. L'chatchila, you should not daven. Now let me break up. There are three different categories of mitzvahs. There is Shmoyne Esrei, which is the most chomor. You're oimei lefnei hamelech. You're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then there is Kriya Shema and the Brachos, which is Kabbalas Omal Chushamayim. And then there's everything else, like Birchas Hamozoin, making a bracha, making an Asher Yotzah. So when it comes to Shasui, lichatchila, you should not even daven. But bidi eved, you can daven. In other words, if I'm not going to daven, I'm going to miss mincha. It's because I'm not going to. It's already shkia. It's only fun. You're not 100%. You're not 100%.
But if you're able to daven,
even though you're exactly the point. Even though you're allowed to drive. Even though I'm legally allowed to get in the car and drive to mincha. Okay, that's the point I want to make.
But you can say the words.
Exactly. Look, I'm better. I'm legally allowed to go drive to mincha. I drank a glass of wine, strong glass of wine. I don't know, 13%. It makes it strong wine today still. What?
No.
Doesn't exist.
You used to make malaga.
Wine, but they used to make strong wine. 12%. 12%. Okay. 12% wine. You have a glass of wine, a good strong glass of wine. Legally, I'm allowed to drive to mincha. Legally, the cop can't arrest me. But should I go to him? Should I do that? Well, maybe it would be better first to daven mincha and then come back and have the glass of wine. Shulchan Aruch says, if you are shasui lichatchila, you should not, even though you can legally drive, you should not daven mincha. Oh. Lechatchila, you can make the bracha, because davening Shmoyne Esrei is in a league by itself. Lechatchila, you can drink all the wine you want to a certain limit. We'll discuss in a moment, and you can make all the brachas. You make Birchas HaMazon and Asher Yotzar and every bracha. But davening a Shmoyne Esrei is a problem, because when you daven Shmoyne Esrei, you're Oymed Lefnei HaMelech, you're standing before the king, and it's disrespectful. Didiyavet, if you already drank and there's only 5 minutes until Shkia, then you can still daven. There is no problem. You can daven. Okay. Now let's go to the next. Now what about reciting Kriya Shema in the bracha? So that's a little bit lighter. That's already, you can be even more makel. You could do it even lechatchila pashtim lechatchila if you're in category one called shasui. Now let's go to category number two. Category number two is called einoy oimei lefnei hamelech. You're at a point, you've drunk enough alcohol where you can't stand with respect in front of the king. That's probably, you would fail a sobriety test. You would fail it. So in that case, if you're not able to fly HaMelech, you're not allowed to daven. If you daven, tefilah soy to'eva, your tefillah is an abomination. Nafkamina, this is a very serious nafkamina. These people cannot be counted towards the minyan. So if you come to Shulam Purim, Mincha time, and there are some people over there that are, then there's a lot of people that just make believe, you know, they're not really drunk.
But if they're asleep, you can count a sleeping person.
You can count one sleeping person.
You're saying
a very interesting shayla. A person who is not able to melech and he's asleep, it could be it doesn't work. Because the reason why a sleeping person is because you can wake him up. This sleeping person, you can't wake up. So this is something, a halacha, if a person is drunk to the degree where he's not roy to stand lefnei hamelech, he's not in a respectful frame of mind, he cannot count towards the minyan. And also, this is even more important, people don't realize this, if you had a suda, mincha, you know, is not such a problem, because many times if you're coming ready to mincha, you already made it to mincha. You're not in the matzav of ein oim lefnei hamelech. You're shasui. So your shasui for category number one is okay. But what about a mezumin? If you invite guests to your home on Purim and they get a little carried away, okay, and then it comes time to bench, and they're really out of it. You know, I'll tell you, on Simchas Torah, I was in a shul at Simchas Torah, and they started drinking. And a suda, before the Hakafas action, there was a suda, we had a real suda with wash, and the oilam was drinking, and it got a little bit out of hand. You know what I knew? I knew that we tipped the scale. They were singing Zmiros. When I heard them sing Simchas Torah, and I heard them singing Shoshana Siakov, then I knew we've crossed the threshold. These people cannot be part of a mezumin. They cannot be part of a minyan when you cross that threshold.
It's a contradiction, because you're putting a person in a state where he can't decide whether he's drunk or not.
So you who are not drunk have to make his decisions for him. Okay, so this.
Can you make a bracha on
You can make brachas. Even.
Like a year of Baruch Piyadotin, if you can't bench it.
You can bench. Let's clarify. A person that is not roy to be oimei lefnei hamelech can bench. He can make a bracha achroin. He's chayv in all the mitzvos. The only thing he can't do is be mitzarev to a minyan. Okay, and then there's a last category of shikrusoy shaloit, which means you're gone. You're out completely. Such a person is potter mikol mitzvah. So you're potter. It's a very strange halacha. It's not the pshat that you're mechuyv. A person that's not able to say hamelach. Let's clarify. A person who is drunk to the degree where you cannot respectfully stand lefnei hamelach, you chayv a mitzvahs. And if you have to daven the Shemona Esrei, you better do something to get yourself in the right frame of mind, which means take a nap. take a nap, or take a cold shower. Take a cold shower, take a nap, or maybe they have some drugs. They have some drugs that you can take, which will calm the person down. You have to do these things in order to put yourself in a frame of mind to mekayim the mitzvah you need to do because you're a bar chiyuva. But if a person already reaches a state where he's mamish out, he is shikusa shaloit, you're potter from all mitzvahs. Okay, running out of time. Let's go to another thing. What happens if a person vomits? Do you bench? A person eats and he vomits.
Don't
does he vomit. Still bench?
Don't invite him to your house next year.
So the Pasha says it depends how much he vomits. If he vomits all the food, he does not bench. In order to bench, it has to be still in the stomach. If a person is not in a state of being satisfied, then there is
So if you're on a feeding tube, do you bench?
A feeding tube Pasha is not. Parshas, there is no benching for feeding tube. It's not derech achila. You don't need a brach either. It's not derech achila. Okay. Now let's now. What does it mean exactly? Chayiv adam levasume bipuraya ad delo yada. What is an ad delo yada ben aro hamal baruch? What exactly does that mean? So let me just present you a couple of interpretations. First interpretation is it says ad. Big question: is ad mean ad bechlal or ad the ad shlo bechlal? So some say no, it means ad the ad bechlal. It means you want to be mekayem the mitzvah be'oifen mechudar. It means go all the way, go all the way. Ad bichlal, you really lost it. However, others say that's not what it means. It means everything in halacha is with moderation. It's not mistaver. Chazal will give you a mitzvah to lose your mind. It's not mistaver. What it means, ad, go just up to that last moment. Drink and drink and drink and drink until they say, if I drink one more cup of wine, then I'm out. Ad the lo yada. Ad v'loy ad bechlal.
That's Masha from the Pshat, because if he would drink that he doesn't know, then he doesn't know that he doesn't know.
Okay, all right, whatever. Next idea, another idea. What does it mean? What did I lay that? So someone said there's a very famous one, is it's a gematria. Aror Haman is the same gematria as Baruch Mordechai. Same gematria. Same gematria. So what it means is in a person, when you begin to lose, you lose your sharpness, you can no do gematrias. The first thing to go is the koyach of gematria, mathematics. Okay, you have to have a clear mind. You can still drive, but you may not be able to make calculations. So once a person already his mind is dull to the point where he can no longer make the calculation of Aruha Baruch Mordechai, he already has fulfilled the obligation. Another interpretation. There used to be, let me tell you what the Yerushalmi says. Yerushalmi says it's not just Aror Hamna Baruch Mordechai. There is Charvoina and there's Zeresh. There's basically the entire Asher Haini. When you finish the Megillah on the night of Purim, you recite this paragraph where it contrasts all of the villains and all of the good people, all of the heroes of the Megillah. So when the Chazal say Aror Haman Baruch Mordechai, it was just starting off. You have to also keep cheshbon of Harvoina and Zeresh. Whatever it says there. You have to be able to recall all of the names and give them their proper titles, give them their proper attribution. If you already have reached a state of intoxication where you're not sharp, no one's going to make a mistake between Aror Haman Baruch Mordechai. That's already off the deep end. But it means everyone. Can you recite to me all of the villains and all of the heroes of the Megillah? So if you're sharp and you're sober, you can do it. But if you already begin to lose it, already you're not going to be able to recall Asher Haney, all of the names. Okay, another idea. Aror Haman Baruch Mordechai, there used to be a piyut. Like, you know, there used to be a piyut, and the law, I don't know if we have this piyut anymore, maybe we do have the piyut, and at the end of every piyut, the chazan would recite the beginning, the words, and the people would end off Baruch Mordechai. And then the next line, they would end off Aror Haman, Baruch Mordechai. They would alternate. The chazan would recite line by line, and the tzibur would respond alternating between Baruch Haman and Aror Mordechai. When you begin to lose track, when you begin to get very groggy, you begin to lose track of when to respond Aror Haman and when to respond Baruch Mordechai. That's what it means, Ad lo yada ben Aror Haman Baruch Mordechai. It means when the piyut is being recited and it's upon you to respond the correct response, you lose it, then already you know that you're already potter from continuing further. Okay, another idea. This idea I actually like. What is the order? The order is Aror Haman And then it's Baruch Mordechai. When a Chazal says, you have to forget, we have a general debate. It's a very big debate in Balei Musar, in Halacha, Chazal. Should a person, when he does tshuva, should you do tshuva first, sur meira, or aseh toif? There's two parts to the process of doing tshuva. Is to abandon the evil. I'm an addict. I have to break away from my sins. And then, I got to go to daven, I got to put on tefillin, I got to do mitzvahs. So what should you do first? Should I do the good first, or should I abandon the bad first? Now, in this generation, less mandapalik, when it comes to tshuva, the attitude is, first do good. As far as the averis, all right, well, that comes later. The first thing is jump in. Jump in and do good. Jump in, do Torah, mitzvos, even though you may still have netiyos of doing averos. Okay, learn the Daf Gemara, even though you know in the back of your mind that when you finish learning Daf Gemara, you can eat non-kosher. Somehow, you'll be able to break away from the non-kosher later point in time. What do we say in the Haggadah? What do we say, Chazal? Aror Haman Ubaruch Mordechai. It's really ideal that you should break away from evil before you take a new path in life to make a cut from your old path in life. Aror Haman Ubaruch Mordechai. But when a person gets in a state of intoxication, he doesn't understand the difference. What you should do first. A sober, healthy person has a plan in life. The proper, ideal plan is, if you're in trouble, first thing is, break your addiction. And then, we'll proceed forward in a positive way. But when you're in a very emotional state, a highly intense emotional state, a person has a tendency to, you know what? Let's just right away, chaperein, let's do good. Let's do the Baruch Mordechai. So when Chazal say, Aruch Haman Baruch Mordechai, that means, what comes first? What comes first? Should your emotion, if you're sober, you have a natural tendency, let's wipe out the evil. And then, we'll Baruch Mordechai, we'll focus on the good. When you're in an emotional state, the human being, the tendency is first Baruch Mordechai, and then later you'll come to the Aror Haman. That's just drink enough wine to enter into this emotional state in order to make that distinction. Now here the Taz is very strange. The Taz says that he was told of art. What it means, Aror Haman Baruch Mordechai, when the miracle happened, there were two different things to celebrate when the miracle of Purim occurred. The eradication of evil, that's a celebration in and of itself. And the second thing to celebrate is Mordechai, the Jewish people, they're riding high. They've been elevated to the highest level. Each one is independent of one of another. Each one is a conclusion. It could be there was no Eis Tzara. What would have been, there was a time of Purim, there was no one was trying to kill us. And one day the Melech says, the Jews, there's no one like the Jews. I want to give over the whole world, the whole country to the Jews. It's cause for celebration. And then you have a Tzara when the Jews are slated for extermination, and the Tzara comes to an end. But the Jews aren't elevated. Nothing good happens to the Jews. The Tzara went away. Purim, we forget, there were two parts to the miracle. The evil was eradicated, and number two, the Jews were put in a very great position of kavod, of honor, of stature. Which one is more important? So there is an answer. There is an answer. One of their two miracles, one of these two miracles has more chashivas, is a more worthy cause of celebration. What you're supposed to do on Purim is, you're supposed to get intoxicated to the point where you can't really figure out which one of the two causes of celebration is a more worthy cause. So the Taz writes, I asked all of my Rebbeim and all of the Chacham to tell me that when you're not intoxicated, when you're sober, which one is more worthy? And no one knew the answer. No one knows, the Taz writes this. No one knows the answer. But the Taz writes, it has to be that we're just missing some information that when Chazal wrote this Gemara, when Rava wrote this statement in the Gemara, to Rava it was clear as day that one of these two celebrations is more significant than the other. there's a slight difference between the two. There's an Arur Haman and there's a Baruch Mordechai. Rava, in the time of the Gemara, knew which one was more worthy of celebration. However, even Rava, when he would drink just a little bit, his mind gets dull, and then you don't really see the difference. They're both equally valid reasons to celebrate the Yom Tov of Purim. So, ad lo yada, it's a beautiful idea, but I mean, it's a mysterious idea because we don't even know what the base, the Taz admits. He doesn't understand the basic of which one is the Arur Haman and the Baruch Mordechai.
Because if you're a stage of drunkenness.
Yeah.
So, when you say Arur Haman and you're saying, I'm going away from the bed, and then you can fall asleep right away. So you've already you're not doing bad, and the good when you wake up. But if you stay up and you say first, I'm going to do good, and then you fall asleep, you left the situation of bad. You always better leave the
bed first. Okay, let me just conclude two more very short things. Chayiv anu levasim bipuraya. Someone bring a raya. Why bipuraya is the Aramaic word for a bed.
Yes.
To lie down on a bed. So someone who says it's right to the Ramah, the Ramah says you should drink a little bit more than you're accustomed to and you should fall asleep and lie down in your bed. Chazal were clever. Chayiv adam levasim bipuraya. Puraya means poor, but also means a bed. Drink a little more until you fall asleep. Okay, another short idea is... This idea is when Mordechai was elevated to his position of power, and Klal Yisrael were appreciated, and they were held in high esteem. V'rabi me'ame haretz misyahadim ki naflu pachad hayehudim aleihem. There were many conversions. Now, here's the question: similar to the word we said before, why did people want to convert? Did they want to convert because Arur Haman? Because they saw the pachat, they saw what happens to Jew haters, so therefore they only converted because they didn't want to be they didn't want to be killed, the Arur Haman, or maybe they converted because of the love, true chashivas of Baruch Mordechai. This was a very big question when it comes to a convert. When do you accept the convert? So chayiv adam levasume bipuraya ad lo yada. I don't really know how to fit the words well. Ad lo yada ben Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai means that you have to break down that barrier. Yeah, somewhere along those lines, you have to understand the borders in the word that we said before. The reaction. What is the ikkar? What is a person's true reaction to the miracle of Purim? Is it the simcha of Baruch Mordechai, or is it the simcha? Or is it the simcha of Arur Haman? There has to be clarity in this matter. If there's no clarity in this matter, then they were lacking in a true appreciation of the end. All right, we'll stop here.